Scarab gone, Scarab gone. The Force showed him Grievous railing on his bridge, showed him Padme sleeping, showed him Palpatine in thought, showed him Obi-Wan and Ahsoka fighting back to back, a sandstorm of images whirling past his mind's eye. It shows me myself. It shows me victorious. The battle raged on, and he raged with it, man and machine in perfect killing harmony. Look out! Ahsoka shouted. Soldier, look out! The clone, whose name she didn't know, couldn't hear her. He was going to die. Locked in her own life or death struggle, deflecting a volley of blaster bolts from an oncoming droid on a staff, nicked and singed and scorched in a half dozen places, Ahsoka reached through the chaos, reached for the Force, and pushed the clone sideways as a stream of plasma sizzled in the air where he was standing.
I saw that. I saw it. Before it happened, I saw it.
A burst of elation gave her a fresh punch of strength. Her lightsaber, a green blur in front of her, she leapt to meet the droid on its staff and slashed both machines in half with a single swiping blow. Her Force-enhanced jump carried her up and over the spinning debris, up and over three charred clone troopers she couldn't save, a blood-soaked clot of civilians she couldn't save, and into the path of four shielded droidicas.
Four against one? That's just not fair.
She reached for the Force again, and suddenly, that was harder. She was getting tired, and desperately pulled half a high stone wall down on the machines. Not even their enhanced shields could save them. Flattened, they sparked and spat and died. Taking a moment to breathe and swipe the sweat from her face, she took a wild look around Talcara's central plaza. Before the Seps, it must have been a pretty place. Now it was smoke and ruins. Pools of blood and rubble were strewn everywhere, surrounded by shorting power cables and burst water pipes pretending to be fountains. The air was thickly hazed with stinking smoke. It seemed the Sep droids had been given one order: kill everything that bleeds. With brutal efficiency, they were doing just that. Master Kenobi wasn't here. He'd ordered her and Rex and others into the fray, then left her to cope while he and his own clone detachment headed for the strategically crucial Spinet facility. She didn't mind. It meant he trusted her. But she couldn't help worrying for him.
If he gets hurt again, Anakin'll blame me, I'll bet.
A sharp shock of foreknowledge spun her around, lightsaber raised and ready. Three pounding heartbeats later, two more staps screamed up and over a partly demolished dress shop. The droids driving them caught sight of her and started firing a blood-red volley of zipping laser bolts. Grimly, she deflected their attack, angling the bolts back on the droids, exploding them into a shower of sparks and spare parts. All around the plaza, clones from Torrent Company fought the entrenched Sep forces. As well as the Staps, super battle droids thudded their emotionless, methodical way through the crumbling buildings and across the open spaces, smashing the statues, crushing the flowers in their scattered beds, splintering and torching the blossomed trees, firing blasters and launching grenades. Destruction and desolation. The Seps stock in trade. Right now, they only had one gunship for air support, and Torrent Company's clones were taking a beating. With their comms still jammed, Stang, she wanted to know how Grievous was doing it. There was no choice but for the other gunships to insert and then fly off to make individual sit-rep assessments of the enemy's strength and troop disposition. It was a crazy way to run a war.
And not a very likely way to win it.
But she wasn't going to think about that. Everywhere she looked beyond the plaza, she could see columns of thick black smoke streaming into the hot summer sky. A light breeze swirled, bringing with it the stink of burning things, the faint screams of living, dying beings, the thud, thud of concussive weapons, the higher pitched zap, zap, zap of lasers. Overhead, their lone shielding gunship opened fire. A Sep battery fired back and,
oh no, oh no.
The gunship was belching red and black smoke. She saw two clones plummet from its half-open belly, saw the gunship spin like a lassoed wild nerf, and then it plunged toward the ground, disappearing behind an obscuring belt of trees. A loud boom, a plume of flame. She felt the deaths jolt through her, felt pain and tears, and pushed both deep inside. Off to her left, a clone screamed, his voice muffled in his helmet. She turned just in time to see someone else die in a weltering spray of bright scarlet blood. The super battle droid that had killed him trod on him afterward and kept walking. A sob rose in her throat, but she choked it down. She had to stay focused. She had to... Another stab buzzed out of hiding toward her. Head spinning, heart racing, she flipped herself up and over its droid rider's head, lightsaber extended, swinging, slicing around to dismember the machines. And then, in the final split second, acting on a half-thought impulse, she changed the angle of her blow. The lightsaber decapitated the droid, sent its head spinning right and its gangly body tumbling left. Guided by the Force, she landed lightly on the step, booted feet thudding onto footrests, free hand catching hold of the handle. The staff dipped and whined, protesting, but she wasn't much heavier than a droid, and it held her weight. The super battle droids never saw her coming.
"Good job, little un,"
said Rex, breathing harshly as he looked up at her on her swaying, slip-sliding staff. His white armor was scorched in a score of places. Smears of blood streaked the length of his right arm, leaking from the joint at his shoulder plate. More blood trickled from beneath his chest plate and down his left thigh. He was favoring that leg a lot. A clone soldier, Checkers, his helmet recklessly discarded, hovered beside him. He was bleeding like Rex, but not as badly. His chin and left hand were cut. His right arm was held out ready to support his captain. Ahsoka flashed him a swift smile, liking him enormously for it.
"Rex, you need to fall back,"
she said, scanning the plaza for more signs of droid activity. Incredibly, for the moment, it seemed they were alone.
"In case you haven't noticed, you're hurt?"
"I'm not the only one,"
said Rex. The strain in his distorted voice was the worst she'd ever heard it.
"I've got men here who need..."
The concussive boom of the nearby explosion made the warm air shudder and sent the staff bucking wildly. Ahsoka bit off a startled cry and wrestled her aerial platform under control, steadying it with a twist of Force push. All around the plaza, broken windows broke free of their sashes and smashed to the buckled ground. Loose bricks followed them. Dust rose in choking, billowing clouds.
"I know, Rex," she said, coughing and spluttering. "You've got men who need medical assistance. Get the wounded under cover while you can. Better yet, barricade yourselves in somewhere. Who knows how soon before you get more company, and I think we're officially outnumbered. I'd help, but now that I've got this staff, I can go find a gunship to evac you out of here. Unless..."
She snapped off her lightsaber, clipped it to her belt, then managed to activate the comlink in her gauntlet.
"This is Ahsoka Tano calling Indomitable. Admiral Yularen, do you copy? Gunship One, do you copy? Does anybody copy? Can anybody hear me?"
"It's no use," said Rex, his voice tight with pain and ruthlessly controlled concern. "Whatever bright idea they cooked up to fix the comm problem doesn't seem to be working. At least not yet. We're on our own, Ahsoka."
She'd never heard him sound like this. She'd never seen him bleed so much. Not since Teth had they lost so many men in one engagement. Another look around the plaza showed her the surviving clones, only a handful unscathed, heading from all directions toward their captain. Many of them could only walk with assistance. Four were being carried, too wounded to make it alone.
"Oh, this is bad. This is very, very bad. I'm going to find Master Kenobi," she said, willing her voice to sound bold and confident. "And another gunship. I'm getting you out of here, Rex. Do you hear me?"
"Yes, ma'am,"
said Rex, trying to sound like his unwounded self. He swayed and Checkers grabbed him, keeping him on his feet. She felt her throat close again.
"You are not allowed to die. That's an order."
She looked at the other clones.
"Is that clear, everyone? No more dying. It's against regulations."
"Ma'am, yes, ma'am,"
the surviving clones of Torrent Company chorused.
"Checkers."
"Ma'am?"
He kept his voice tight with pain.
"Keep an eye on Captain Rex."
He nodded.
"Ma'am, let's make that two eyes."
"Okay, then,"
she said, touched close to tears.
"Stay here. Stay safe. I'll be right back, I promise."
And before the clone's courage broke her completely, she wheeled the staff away and gunned it out of the plaza in search of Obi-Wan and help. Slash slashing his lightsaber through yet another onrushing wall of droids. Feeling the drain on his strength, the burn in his muscles, Obi-Wan blinked stinging sweat from his eyes.
I have a bad feeling about this.
General Kenobi!
Shouted Lieutenant Treve, darting out of the corridor behind him.
Sir, they're about to break through the second containment line. I don't know how much longer we can hold them.
As the last droid collapsed piecemeal at his feet, Obi-Wan turned, breathing hard. The pain behind his eyes was vicious.
We'll hold them as long as we have to, Treve. There's no alternative.
Treve took one look at the scattered bodies of the Bothans killed before the Republic help arrived, then pinged a finger to his helmet.
Yes, sir.
He didn't sound too confident.
And I don't feel too confident. I wish Anakin would get here.
Number of casualties?
Sorry, General, I've been too busy to count.
Treve shook his head.
Maybe a third.
A third?
He took a moment to ease his aching shoulders. What about gunship support? How's it holding up? Even with his expression obscured by the helmet, Treve's discomfort was palpable. He closed his eyes briefly.
How many?
At our location, 4 shot down, 2 destroyed, 2 disabled.
Treve shrugged.
Could be worse, sir.
Really? How? So we've no air support at all?
Not quite,
said Treve, grim again.
We've got 6 gunships still up there, but they're finding it hard to break through the Sept defenses.
Which would explain why he'd heard plenty of enemy fire, but hardly any friendly. He could hear it now, booming and blatting beyond the barricaded front doors. Muffled, but still too close. Hammering beneath it was the familiar tap-tap-tap of Republic blasters shouting in reply.
Very well. Get back to the line. Tell the men to hold on. Reinforcements will reach us soon.
Sir.
Treve started to withdraw, then hesitated.
General, are you sure you're all right here on your own?
Obi-Wan wiped the sweat from his face. Scattered around him were the remains of all the droids who'd so far failed to kill him. The Spinet facility's anonymous entrance hall was starting to resemble a spare parts warehouse. I'm not dead yet, Lieutenant, he replied. Get back to your post.
Yes, Jim.
The entrance hall's transparasteel skylight shattered, spraying them with high-velocity lethal shards. A swarm of small and highly maneuverable remote droids, each armed with a miniaturized laser cannon and heat-seeking sensors, poured through the jagged hole.
Stang!
Treve cursed.
Mosquitoes!
Raising his blaster, he started to fire. Obi-Wan felt his blood surge. Shockingly, his armor was pierced, but there was no time to pull the slivers of transparasteel from his chest and arms and shoulder. No time to feel the white-hot pain, to worry about severed nerves or tendons. Fight or die, that was the choice. He fought. Fed a trickle of fresh purpose by the Force, Obi-Wan danced with the mindless, murderous droids. He slashed and sliced and annihilated as many machines as he could reach and flung more aside with his diminishing strength. The blasted things were tough, resilient. They bounced off the walls and floor and came right back at him, silent and deadly. A choked cry and a clatter sounded somewhere to his right. Treve was down. Dead or dying, it was hard to see. The rain of transparasteel shards had cut his face and his forehead. His laboring heart pumped blood into his eyes. No time for this, no time. Frustrated, he smeared his vision almost clear as more remote droids streamed through the obliterated skylight.
Why had the Kothless Bothans allowed a skylight in a place like this? Stupid, stupid. I can't kill all those droids, not alone.
But still, he had to try. Cunning as Onderonian blood beasts, the remote droids seemed to sense their advantage. So many swarmed him now he couldn't cleanly deflect every laser bolt. Fire seared his left thigh and he staggered sideways. His foot skidded on a piece of broken battle droid and he dropped hard to one knee. A speeding stab plunged through the smashed skylight, careering between Obi-Wan and the mass of remote droids. He brought up his lightsaber, ready to destroy it, then realized who was controlling the machine.
Ahsoka.
She rode the stab like a circus performer, swooping and sliding, her lightsaber a green blur. Such a little thing she was, scarcely more than a child, but a lethal child. Droids were flying to pieces all around her. Grinning, he regained his feet. Now this was more like it. Good timing, Padawan, he called to her, rejoining the fray.
I do my best, master, she said with a swift, cheeky smile. Now what say we finish this? I've got better places to be.
Don't we all, Ahsoka, he retorted, and moved in for the kill. Perfectly orchestrated, he and Anakin's apprentice took the fight to their enemy. The air filled with sparks and smoke, with the stink of burned metal and circuitry and the glorious hum of whirling lightsabers. Then, a lucky droid blaster shot took out the staff's anti-grav projector. Ahsoka somersaulted gracefully off the falling machine and with a hard force push smashed it through a flock of the remotes.
Nicely inventive,
Obi-Wan panted as Ahsoka leapt to him. Anakin would approve.
That's the idea, she said, whirling to press her back to his back, a classic defensive move. Can you please remember to tell him?
Oh, she was cheeky, all right. It seemed Anakin was rubbing off on her. You can tell him yourself. Now, let's finish this, shall we? Panting, bleeding, they redoubled their efforts. When it was over, the last droid sliced apart, Obi-Wan checked on Lieutenant Treve. He knew what he'd find, but he also knew that it was important to touch the man and feel it in the flesh.
He's dead, isn't he?
Ahsoka asked. Sweat and smoke masked her face and turned her blue eyes sapphire brilliant. Her voice wasn't quite steady. He straightened, suddenly so weary, so sad. Yes. Seeing it, most likely feeling it, Ahsoka took a step toward him, then stopped. Cheekiness vanished now, and grief rushed to take its place.
We've got a lot of troopers in trouble back in the central plaza too, Master, she said, almost whispering. And the communications still aren't working. If we don't get help...
I know. We are in a tight spot. Then he frowned at her. And speaking of being in a tight spot, your arrival was most fortuitous, Padawan.
How did you find me?
Ahsoka blinked and regained a little self-possession.
Well, really it wasn't hard. You kind of light up the Force like a bonfire, Master Kenobi. Almost as bright as Master Skywalker.
Now it was his turn to blink, disconcerted. Oh. Beneath the dirt and blood of battle, Ahsoka blushed.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
Her eyes widened on a gasp.
Hey, can you feel that? It's... Anakin.
He didn't even bother trying to hide his relief or smother his smile. Come on, this way. She sprinted after him down the corridor and out of the Spinet facility, bursting through an exterior door into the debris-littered loading dock where the second containment line had been established at high cost. It hadn't broken yet. But the clones weren't fighting. They were staring and pointing into the smoky, coastless sky where the fighters from Gold, Hammer, and Arrow squadrons, along with 5 gunships, pounded the remainder of Grievous's invasion force to scrap metal. Dizzy with relief, Obi-Wan watched Anakin finish what they'd started. And with this welcome respite from worry, he became aware of his exhaustion and the pains loudly clamoring for his attention. He heard an oddly distorted voice calling his name.
General! General Kenobi, do you copy?
Yularen.
Startled, he slapped the comlink on his arm.
Admiral, what's happening?
It's over up here, General. Grievous is on the run, thanks to a little help from Korax Moff, and regular communications are restored, at least for the moment. What's your status?
His status? I've had better days.
We're still standing. Anakin and his fighters are mopping up now. Admiral, I've got...
Medevacs are on their way, General.
And the relief of that made him weak at the knees. So many men lost and wounded. Now that he'd stopped fighting, he could feel through the Force dreadful echoes of death, of searing pain. His belly churned a warning and sour saliva flooded his mouth. He spat it out, then raised his comlink again.
Tell them to hurry, Admiral. What about the Kothless Ruling Council? Have we heard...
Wiped out, I'm afraid. I've alerted the Senate. They're contacting Bothawe now, and they'll be sending a civilian disaster relief team ASAP. Hold on, General Kenobi. It's nearly over.
It was a moment before he could trust himself to speak. Beside him, Ahsoka was trying to pretend she wasn't flooded with hard-to-control emotion.
Thank you, Admiral. I'll see you soon.
I don't believe it,
said Ahsoka. She sounded dazed.
I didn't really think we could... that we would...
Her voice broke.
Rex is really hurt. A lot of Torrent companies really hurt and dead. I tried to protect them, Master. I tried to, but there were so many droids.
Obi-Wan looked down at her, aware of a tired triumph, as Anakin and his team pinpointed the last stubborn Sep fighters.
I know, Padawan. Don't worry. The medevac transports will be... He frowned. The child was holding her left side. He realized too late that she was hurt.
He could hear her breath coming in suddenly difficult gasps and saw, beneath her pressing fingers, a vicious, spreading bruise. Furious with himself, he reached for her.
Ahsoka! Master Kenobi.
Abruptly, a child again, she looked up at him, puzzled.
Oh, I don't feel so good.
She whispered, and fainted, a dead weight into his arms. Chapter 4. Aside from the expected battle aftermath clatter and bustle, and the distant wailing of civilian disaster sirens, the first thing Anakin heard as he made his way onto the Spinet facility's loading dock was Ahsoka, indignantly protesting.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Please don't worry about me. You need to check on Captain Rex and the others. There's nothing wrong with me. It's just a bruise. And I didn't faint. I tripped.
The second thing he heard was the clipped, impatient voice of his former master.
Ahsoka, be quiet. Captain Rex and his men are in good hands already. Besides, it's not a bruise. It's 3 fractured ribs, which means, ow.
Ow? Oh, great. He's done it again. Threading a path between hurrying medics and clone troopers and scattered bits of Grievous's destroyed army, Anakin let the Force guide him to where he needed to be. Obi-Wan and Ahsoka sat side by side on crates in a hastily set up triage area, just outside an entrance into the Spinet building. One clone medic was encasing his singed and smoke-stained Padawan's torso in an inflatable brace, and another was attempting to extract a wicked-looking shard of shattered transparisteel from Obi-Wan's chest plate. Several more shards were deeply embedded in both arms and his right shoulder. He looked like an extremely cranky pincushion.
General, please stay completely still, said the medic, sounding harried. I don't want to hurt you any more than I...
Can I help? Anakin said, joining them.
Ahsoka's pain-pinched face lit up.
Master, you're all right!
Of course I am, Padawan, he said. Why wouldn't I be?
His bored tone was designed to reassure her, but it wasn't working, as the answer to his flip question was lying all around them, triaged clone troopers, most stoically silent, waiting for the next medevac flight to arrive. Beyond them, decently shrouded, lay the bodies of those men who hadn't been so fortunate. And then, of course, there were the men who'd died going up against Grievous and his droid starfighters.
Anakin, said Obi-Wan, self-contained as always.
There you are at last. Nice work.
He nodded.
You too. Should I ask what happened?
What happened is that your Padawan arrived in the nick of time and helped save the day.
She did?
With his initial burst of relief fading, seeing them both more or less unscathed, Anakin felt a rush of pride.
Of course she did. She's my apprentice.
The clone medic treating Ahsoka sealed the brace.
Stay put and breathe shallowly. No fancy Jedi moves for the time being, or chances are you'll end up with a tension pneumothorax. A collapsed lung, he added, noting his patient's blank stare. As of right now, Padawan Tano, you're officially out of commission.
Ahsoka frowned.
Wonderful.
She was awfully pallid beneath all the grime, and hurting a lot. Anakin could feel it. No internal injuries?
There's a lot of bruising, sir, said the medic. A few broken ribs, but no organ damage I can detect. Although, as I say, that could change if she tries anything clever.
Anakin scowled at his Padawan.
Trust me, she won't.
How did it happen, anyway?
I don't really remember,
Ahsoka said, shifting uncomfortably on the crate.
There was a lot going on, except there was this one super battle droid I tangled with on the way here from the plaza.
He raised an eyebrow.
Just one?
Oh, no. There were lots of SBDs,
she said as the medic pressed a spray injector to the inside crook of her elbow and hissed some drug or other into her bloodstream.
But only one of them was a problem.
He looked at Obi-Wan. Please, tell me I wasn't ever this cocky.
Obi-Wan, his face cut in several places and streaked with dried blood, rolled his eyes.
You're sure my Padawan's going to be fine? Anakin asked the medic.
No reason to think otherwise, sir, said the medic, allowing a little unprofessional sympathy to show. Provided she gets to a proper med facility sooner rather than later.
She will. And now, about General Kenobi.
The medic treating Obi-Wan cleared his throat. The General's life might not be in danger, sir, but I still really need to get this transperisteel out of him. It's not what you'd call hygienic.
He looked down.
So, General, if you could please keep still and stop talking, that would be helpful.
Yes, yes, all right,
Obi-Wan muttered, hating the fuss, refusing to admit any kind of physical weakness. But do please hurry up. I can't sit here all day.
Obi-Wan, you can sit there for as long as the medics need you to, said Anakin, and turned to the harassed clone. Have you scanned him? Is there any arterial involvement or nerve damage?
No nerve damage, no compromised arteries, said the medic. There's a tendon that's not looking too cheerful, but we can take care of it once these transperisteel splinters are out of him.
You're having some trouble with that?
A bit, the medic admitted. They're stuck in him, but good, and if I use brute force to pull them out, I'll do more damage than they did going in.
Please don't, said Obi-Wan. I've wasted enough time as it is.
Ignoring him, Anakin frowned thoughtfully.
Right, I get the picture. Look, I don't mean to tread on your toes, but do you mind if I try something?
The medic stood back.
Be my guest, General Skywalker.
Anakin, what are you doing?
Obi-Wan demanded.
We both know you're not a healer. Please leave this to the ex-
Hush up, he said mildly. You're distracting me. As Obi-Wan opened his mouth in comical surprise, the medics exchanged amused glances. Ahsoka stifled a giggle.
Fine, said Obi-Wan with poor grace, defeated. But whatever you intend to do, get on with it. Captain Drake and Sergeants Venn and Ando are coordinating what's left of our troops, but I need to get back out there. It's going to take hours to clean up the mess Grievous has left behind here.
Don't worry about that now, he said and dropped to a crouch in front of his former master.
Drake's a good officer. Just relax, clear your mind, and don't fight me.
Resting his gloved human fingers on Obi-Wan's forearm, Anakin closed his eyes and breathed out long and slow. Allowing the Force to rise within him, warm and familiar, he let it show him the shape of the 8 transperisteel splinters still lodged in Obi-Wan's body. Nasty. Painful. It was nothing short of a miracle they hadn't severed nerves or sliced major blood vessels, which meant Obi-Wan would heal as good as new once the shards were removed. He lifted his hand and opened his eyes. Focusing the power of the Force, he summoned the first piercing splinter out of Obi-Wan's chest. Sorry, he murmured as his former master grunted. This is going to sting a bit. Hold on. Hold on. Dimly, he was aware of his fascinated audience. Ahsoka, the 2 medics, the less seriously wounded clones. All of them stared as he eased the shard of transperisteel out of vulnerable flesh and the armor that had failed to protect it. Bloody, the splinter of transperisteel clattered to the oil-stained ground. He smiled. Excellent. Okay, 1 down, 7 to go. When the final shard was safely extracted, he rose from his crouch and got out of the way. Warm and comforting, the Force resonated through him. Pride, too, for a difficult task perfectly executed. The medic moved in, stripping off Obi-Wan's armor and tugging him out of his spoiled Jedi tunic. Then he slapped a succession of pressure pads on each seemingly insignificant puncture wound.
General, wiggle your fingers for me, he ordered, tapping Obi-Wan's right hand.
It was the tendon in his right forearm that was the cause for concern.
Then make a fist.
Grimacing, Obi-Wan obeyed.
That feels fine.
Looks fine, too, said the medic, patently relieved. I think you dodged a blaster bolt this time, General.
Actually, I dodged quite a few, said Obi-Wan as he eased himself back into his scorched and blood-stained tunic. Thank you, Sergeant. Now, perhaps you could turn your attention to those among us who aren't merely scratched.
Yes, sir, the medic replied. But let's get one thing straight, General. Those aren't just scratches, and you need to take care of them properly.
Anakin grinned. Don't worry. I'll make sure he's sorted out. Thank you, General Skywalker, said the medic, and moved aside with his partner to confer quietly about the other charges.
Master, said Ahsoka, heavy-eyed and starting to droop from the crushing fatigue that followed injury and the crazed intensity of battle. They've sent Rex and the others to Kalita Shoals. Can I go after them? They've got regular med droids there. They can fix my ribs while I'm waiting and, well...
She bit her lip.
I think it'd mean a lot to the men if one of us was there. Of course, if you need me here... Rex.
Briefly, in teasing Obi-Wan, helping him, he'd forgotten.
How bad is he, Ahsoka? Bad, I think, she whispered. Sergeant Korok, too. Lots of them are bad.
Obi-Wan was on his feet, favoring his blaster-burned leg. Had he let the medic take care of it? It didn't feel like it. Typical. I see no harm in her going, Anakin, he said softly. She's got to be treated somewhere, and she's right about a Jedi presence helping clone morale. Besides, with so many of our healers deployed to the front lines, it'll ease the workload on the temple. Anakin nodded. True. Anyway, neither you nor I will be rushing back into action anytime soon, Obi-Wan added. There'll be significant fallout from this affair, I suspect. There surely would. With industrial espionage in at least one Republic shipyard striking at the heart of the war effort. Obi-Wan was tugging at his beard. I imagine we'll be on Coruscant for a week at least. The Council and Palpatine, possibly even the Senate, will want detailed reports on these unfortunate developments.
Coruscant. Padme.
Anakin nodded, hoping Obi-Wan's physical discomfort was enough of a distraction to hide the unbidden leap of pleasure.
It's been so long since I touched her.
I expect you're right. You usually are. He looked at Ahsoka. Fine, you can go. But I want to be kept informed of Torrent Company's status. Don't make me chase you for updates. Is that clear? She managed to smile.
Yes, Master, thank you.
And Ahsoka, he felt his heart thud. Tell Rex, tell all of them, that anything less than a full recovery is unacceptable. Tell Rex I... He had to stop. Obi-Wan was in earshot, and they were not supposed to care so much. But Ahsoka cared too much, too. She didn't need to hear the words.
I will. Don't worry.
Another medevac ship was coming in, the sound beating against his eardrums, bouncing off the nearby walls and the litter-strewn ground. The wind, whipped up by its careful descent, tugged his hair and his tunic, and rattled the body bags and drove dust into the eyes of the helpless wounded. Your ride's here. Hugging her was out of the question, and not just because she had broken ribs. Anakin rested his hand on her head. Go. Get yourself healed. You did well today, Ahsoka.
I'm proud of you. I just did what you taught me, Sky Guy.
Then she swallowed.
Was it bad? You know, up there?
He looked away. The medevac was grounded now, spilling more medics to help with the casualties. Bad enough. Some good people didn't make it.
What about Grievous?
Grievous. He felt his metal fingers clench. No. Bloodshot and red-rimmed, her eyes reflected his own angry disappointment.
We will get him, Master. One day, we'll get him.
I know.
So how soon before we go after the clanky Barv?
She was so eager. No matter what the war threw at her, she caught it and threw it back, twice as hard. If her reckless enthusiasm didn't get her killed, she was going to make one fine Jedi. I'm not sure, he said, and looked to ask Obi-Wan his opinion, but the medic had noticed the wound in his mentor's leg and had pulled him aside to take care of it. I guess we'll find out soon enough. She nodded, resigned.
I guess.
Anyway, you've already got a job to do. He said sternly. You're no good to me with broken ribs, Ahsoka, or a collapsed lung.
They won't be broken for long, she said, wrinkling her nose. And my lungs are fine, so don't you get used to being without me, Sky Guy.
She was teasing him, but the jab struck a nerve. He was used to having her around now. Maybe even had started to rely on her a little bit.
Stang. When did that happen? Last time I looked, I didn't want an apprentice.
He nodded at the medevac, which was preparing to leave again, burdened with the living and the lost. They're not going to wait for you. Go on, get out of here. We'll talk again soon.
We'd better,
Ahsoka retorted, and made her slow, painful way to the transport. Escaped from the medic, Obi-Wan joined him. "She really did save me, you know," he said while they watched the medevac ship dwindle out of sight. "As did you." Anakin grinned. "Again." "Oh, so we're keeping score, are we?" "Everyone should have a hobby, Obi-Wan." He looked the older man up and down. "Seems yours is getting yourself shot full of holes. Are you sure you're okay?" "I'm fine," said Obi-Wan. A small smile thanked him, but it faded fast. "So, at least tell me Grievous limped away?" "Hobbled, more like it. Him and his friends. We dented him, Obi-Wan. We bloodied his nose." "Yes, well, that's what we thought last time," Obi-Wan murmured. "Let's hope this time it's not an exaggeration." That was a depressing thought. Shoving it aside, Anakin turned to consider the Spinet building. "What's the story here? Is this place still secure, or are the Bothans going to have to tear it down and start again?"
"I don't know," said Obi-Wan. "There were droids inside when we got here. We managed to clear them out, but whether they'd had enough time to compromise the security protocols and transmit sensitive data to Grievous, I'm afraid I can't say. That'll be for the experts to ascertain."
Abruptly, Obi-Wan looked exhausted.
"Where are you parked, Anakin?"
He jerked his thumb over his shoulder.
"Out in the street. Hopefully nobody's given me a ticket."
"And your squadrons?"
"They're on recon picking off any of Grievous's stragglers."
"They're fine, Obi-Wan. If there'd been trouble, I'd have felt it. There's not."
"Good," said Obi-Wan, but he was frowning. "Now for the bad news. How many pilots did we lose?"
Anakin didn't want to say, didn't want to see, to feel Obi-Wan's shock and pain. He was too busy trying not to feel his own. "But I can't run from it. I can't hide. It has to be faced."
14.
14? Anakin, that's more than a squadron's worth, I know. He shook his head.
"They found some way to upgrade the droid starfighters. These vultures and scarabs were faster, smarter, and it didn't help that we were fighting them gagged.
If this was a test run for his computer virus and his jamming equipment, Grievous got the results he was after.
And if he and Dooku equip all of their warships with the same jamming technology, if they've managed to infiltrate more than one shipyard, infect other ships with that virus..."
Obi-Wan sounded shaken.
"It doesn't bear thinking about."
"Except that's our job, isn't it?" Anakin said.
"Thinking the unthinkable."
He looked around the loading dock at the scattered flotsam and jetsam of battle, at the splashes of dried blood on the ground, the discarded blaster clips, the violently dismembered battle droids. Remembered the slaughtered Kothless citizens he'd seen from his fighter cockpit as he'd flown to the Spinet facility, his senses yammering with alarm. There'd been scores of bodies lying in the streets, crumpled in the forecourts of their offices and department complexes, and the dead or injured clone soldiers, their armor white and red and shining in the sun. He glanced at Obi-Wan.
"You know, some days, I don't much like our job."
"You'll get no argument from me," said Obi-Wan, rubbing the wound on his chest. "Master Yoda and the Chancellor must be apprised of this development as soon as possible, but only via a secure short burst. Grievous may have fled the scene of his crimes, but we don't know what other tricks he's got up his sleeve. We can't risk..."
"General Kenobi, do you copy?"
It was Yularen, sounding relieved.
Obi-Wan tapped his comlink.
"Kenobi here."
"The Senate Disaster Relief Team has arrived."
"That was fast."
"They were in the neighborhood. Major flooding on Rishi. They..." "Hold on."
There was some background chatter, then...
"The Bothan delegation's here too, General. They're on their way to your location now."
"That's excellent news, Admiral. I'll be here waiting for them. Kenobi out."
Anakin shook his head.
No you won't."
"I won't?"
Obi-Wan's eyebrows shot up.
"Anakin, I don't recall needing your permission to..."
"Save your breath," Anakin said flatly. "I'm not arguing this with you.
Medic!"
The clone who'd patched up Obi-Wan looked around from packing his med kit.
"General Skywalker?"
"When's the next medevac due?"
"In a couple of minutes, sir. But it's not coming here, it's..."
"It is now. Arrange that, would you? Then see General Kenobi safe on board. And if it's not heading back to Indomitable, tell them to make a detour."
The medic nodded.
"Yes, sir."
Anakin.
Exasperated, Anakin glared at his mentor.
Obi-Wan, you don't need to brief the disaster team and the Bothans. I can do that, and get a proper sit-rep and sort out our troops while I'm at it.
Well, yes, that's true, but nothing, he snapped, not in the least bit interested in good manners. Sometimes Obi-Wan needed a short, sharp shock.
Not your Padawan anymore, remember?
You said it yourself, Chancellor Palpatine has to know what's going on. That's our top priority. And in case you hadn't noticed, you're bleeding again. You belong in a med bay. Now I've given this soldier a direct order. Don't make him disobey it by being difficult, and don't upset the chain of command by countermanding me.
Silence. Obi-Wan stared at him.
Okay. Anakin patted his mentor on his undamaged shoulder. Now, I'm going to move my fighter because it's probably in the way. I will see you upstairs when I'm finished down here. And I promise, in the unlikely event I run into trouble I can't handle, I'll contact you.
With a cheerful nod at his mute former master, carefully not looking at the medics, he sauntered out of the loading dock, heading for his fighter. As he walked, he toggled his comlink.
This is Gold Leader. Check in, people. Tell me what's going on.
One by one, his surviving pilots replied. Good news all around. No more casualties, lots more kills, the last of Grievous's garbage disposed of. Kothless was free at last.
Good job. Head on home, he told them. I've got a couple of things to do here, but I'll be right behind you. And the drinks are on me.
As he hoisted himself into his cockpit, R2-D2 beeped and whistled a relieved welcome and a question. Coming in low overhead, the diverted medevac transport stirred the street's dirt and debris. He hit the cockpit canopy switch fast.
Obi-Wan's fine, more or less, he told the anxious droid, firing their fighter's thrusters. Ahsoka's pretty banged up, though. So are Rex and Korok. They're on their way to Kalita Shoals.
R2's mournful whistle said everything Anakin couldn't, or didn't want to.
Yeah, I know, he said. But they're in excellent hands. They'll be fine. Good as new in no time.
And who exactly was he trying to convince? The droid? Or himself?
Yes. Okay, R2, hang on.
And he gunned the fighter in a vertical liftoff, pointed its nose toward a nearby deserted speeder parking lot, and did his best to outrun inconvenient reality. For a few moments, anyway.
To his surprise, Obi-Wan found Admiral Wolf Yularen waiting for him when he disembarked from the medical transport in Indomitable's busy main hangar.
Welcome back, General, the Admiral greeted him as around them deckhands and medics got down to business. Nice to see you still in one piece, more or less.
Thank you, Obi-Wan said warily. Since when did admirals loiter about in hangar bays? I'm fine. Unless... Anakin...
If you were led to believe otherwise, Admiral, my apologies.
Yularen's sober gaze followed an anti-grav gurney laden with a bloodied, half-unconscious clone, hurt, but not hurt enough to ship all the way to Kalita Shoals. Only the worst cases, the touch-and-go cases that needed Kaminoan specialists, were sent there.
I wasn't, precisely.
No? Obi-Wan found that hard to believe. But?
Yularen hesitated, then nodded.
But after bringing me up to speed on the Kothless ground situation, General Skywalker did mention in passing that you might get, sidetracked on your way to the medbay.
Oh, really?
I'll sidetrack him the next time I see him.
I see.
I must say, said Yularen, unbending a trifle, giving him a once-over glance, you don't appear to be knocking on death's door.
I'm not, he said tightly. I'm afraid Anakin is...
With an effort, he stopped himself. Whatever irritation he might be feeling with his high-handed former Padawan, it wasn't appropriate to vent it at the Admiral. Yularen was looking at him closely, an odd and unexpected sympathy in his deep-set eyes.
He's upset about his lost pilots, the Admiral observed.
Only a fool forgot he was a smart, perceptive man.
And about our ground troop casualties, as am I. This was an expensive outing, General Kenobi.
Weariness rolled over Obi-Wan in a great wave, flattening his vision and dulling his ears.
Underneath it, the pain he'd managed so far to repress flared a warning.
I know. He looked around the hangar, vaguely taking in the bustling deck crew as it unloaded technical supplies from a small transport vessel bearing Koryk's moth insignia.
How badly were you hit by Grievous and his warships?
Yularen shrugged. We'll be in space dock for a couple of weeks, perhaps longer. In fact,
he started walking toward the hangar deck transport. Falling into step beside him, Obi-Wan waited for him to finish, keenly aware of his colleague's strictly controlled dismay.
I was wondering, General, how would you feel about transferring to Pioneer for your return trip to Coruscant? Yularen asked. I'd rather not stress this lady with more hyperspace jumps than I absolutely need.
The admission shocked Obi-Wan. Indomitable's damage is that bad?
It's that bad, Yularen agreed grimly. You wouldn't have seen it on your approach, most of it's port side. We'll be keeping a lot of hands busy, I'm afraid.
And if they didn't already have the repair downtime to worry about, now they had to fear separatist insurgents on the repair crews, sowing more havoc under the guise of care.
Not a day passes without this war growing more difficult, more treacherous.
If he wasn't careful, he'd become disheartened.
Of course, Admiral. Whatever I can do to assist you. If I might ask, how many people did you lose in this engagement?
They'd reached the transport. Its doors hissed open, and Yularen let himself be waved in first.
9. And 3 times as many wounded.
I'm so sorry, Obi-Wan said, stepping in after him. What about the other cruisers?
11 dead on Coruscant Sky. Their wounded are still being tallied. Pioneer got off the lightest this time. 4 lost, 12 wounded.
As the transport doors hissed shut again, Yularen hit the control toggle.
Medbay, then bridge.
Obi-Wan crushed the rising grief.
Actually, I should code my report to the Council before I...
Medbay, then bridge, Yularen repeated, frowning. I didn't just speak to General Skywalker. I double-checked with the medic who treated you. Have you stopped yet to consider how much explosive force it takes to shatter transperisteel and puncture clone armor?
No, I didn't think so.
Therefore, do please humor me, General. 10 minutes here or there won't make a difference to the Council.
Nonplussed, Obi-Wan stared at him.
Admiral, your concern is appreciated, but frankly, I believe it's misplaced. I'm not quite sure why you and Anakin feel the need to...
Not quite sure? Said Yularen, incredulous, as they headed toward the warship's medbay. Since I know you're not a fool, sir, are you by any chance concussed?
Temper was starting to burn away Obi-Wan's leaden exhaustion.
No, I am not concussed. Admiral Yularen, General Kenobi.
With a slap of his hand, Yularen halted the transport.
While as a rule I find your modesty refreshing, in this instance I'm inclined to feel peeved. You, Master Jedi, are a valuable asset. Your skills are irreplaceable, your contributions to the Republic's war effort immeasurable. You do not have the right to treat your person lightly. What you have, sir, is an obligation to guard your health and well-being as though it were the health and well-being of our precious Republic's Supreme Chancellor. And if you so cavalierly refuse to do that, then you can hardly be astonished when those of us who aren't blind to your value make whatever arrangements we deem necessary to keep you in one piece.
Yularen's salt and pepper eyebrows shot up.
Need I continue, or have I made my point?
Obi-Wan dropped his shocked gaze to the floor. Not once in the months they'd been loosely working together had this highly respected officer raised his voice to him or even come close to raking him over the coals as though he were an errant subordinate. Nobody spoke to him like that. Not since Qui-Gon. Well, except for Yoda. And Yoda, like Qui-Gon, had earned the right.
Except, perhaps, Wolf Yularen has earned the right, too. Today, like so many days, he threw his ship, his life, and every life he's sworn to protect between me and death. I suppose it's only natural he feels something of a vested interest in my survival.
Admiral, he looked up. My apologies. Your point is made. Breathing out a harshly relieved sigh, Yularen restarted the transport.
You know, General, Some say young Skywalker's the crazy one, the reckless one, the Jedi most likely to go down in a blaze of glory. I used to say it. But now I'm not so sure. In your own quiet way, you can be just as terrifying. I'm sorry, I don't know what to say to that. A faint smile curved Yularen's lips. You don't see it, do you? No, I'm afraid I don't, Obi-Wan replied. You seem to be suggesting that I take unnecessary risks. I can't agree. I only ever do what I feel is right. And rarely stop to think of the personal consequences, said Yularen, still wryly amused. You and Skywalker are cut from the same cloth, and that little Padawan of his, she's been fashioned out of the discarded material. Ahsoka. Though he was worried about her, Obi-Wan had to smile. She's certainly feisty. Master Yoda knew exactly what he was doing when he paired those two. The transport was slowing. As it bumped to a stop, its electronic voice chirping,
Medbay.
Yularen nodded. Just as you knew what you were about, training him. It was a compliment, and as unexpected as the man's earlier sympathy had been. I think Yularen is more rattled by this recent engagement than he cares to admit, even to himself. As the transport doors slid open, Obi-Wan smiled, acknowledging the comment. I'll join you on the bridge as soon as I can, Admiral, he said. Perhaps, in the meantime, you could ask Lieutenant Avery to set up for a priority Alpha shortburst to the Jedi Temple. That is, if our current comm capacity permits.
It does, said Yularen, professionally impersonal once more. I'll get Avery on it immediately.
In Indomitable's impressive medbay anteroom, Obi-Wan breathed in the antiseptic air and felt, and banished, the pain of its occupants, hidden inside the facility's treatment cubicles. A 2-1B med droid stood behind the anteroom's desk. Registering his presence, it looked up, its visual sensors electronically gleaming.
General Kenobi, we've been expecting you,
it said politely, moving to join him.
Please come this way. I understand you've suffered a number of penetrating wounds, facial lacerations, a blaster burn, and injury to one of your flexor tendons.
I am far too busy for this. Yes, but I assure you my situation sounds worse than it is, he said, stepping back. In fact...
Please, General, there's no need for concern.
The medroid continued, herding him toward the treatment area.
I was recently upgraded courtesy of the Rhino State Medical Academy. I assure you you're in excellent hands.
Clearly, there was no escape. Ungraciously surrendering to his fate, Obi-Wan followed the droid into the serious part of the medbay. Anakin, there will be a reckoning for this.
Chapter 5. Like Supreme Chancellor Palpatine, Bail Organa preferred to work with living, breathing, sentient individuals, not droids. The thought of being surrounded by a staff of protocol droids was enough to induce a migraine. How Padme tolerated that prissy, overbearing collection of wiring and circuits was beyond him. He'd have trashed the fussy thing for spare parts the second time it metaphorically opened its mouth to lecture him on the correct pronunciation of the Adakarian greetings between equals or whatever. His own very human, very efficient personal assistant tapped on his open office door.
Senator, you wanted to know when Pioneer was due in?
He hit the pause button on his slowly scrolling data pad and looked up.
She's home?
Not quite, Manala said. As usual, even though they were at the tail end of a long day, she looked immaculate. No matter what kind of crisis blew up, Manala Lodolin managed to remain cool, calm, and effortlessly composed. The word flustered didn't seem to be in her dictionary.
The ship's on approach, heading for the GAR docks.
All right, thanks. Can you... Manala grinned.
Already done. You'll find your speeder on level 2, bay 445C.
Lady, you are a treasure and twice a treasure, he said, standing. I've tagged Flittery and Jinmin Tukati for the Kothless inquiries. If either calls back, let them know I'll be in touch later tonight. She nodded.
Certainly, sir.
Also, I've sent through those last 5 Tariq's Law amendments to your console, plus the latest stats for the Appropriations Committee and the draft executive data dumping bill. I'm sorry they're so last minute, but I only got them an hour ago. If you could... Manala raised a soothing hand.
Don't worry, Senator. I'll see they're proofed and disseminated as and where needed.
Her unquestioning dedication flooded him with sudden guilt.
It'll mean a late finish.
And that prompted her elusive, zany grin.
Surprise, surprise.
Come in late tomorrow to make up for it, he said, reaching for his work case. He dropped it onto the desk and snapped open the lid. I mean it.
Can't, she said with a decisive shake of her head. Now that your meeting with the Chancellor's been rescheduled for the crack of dawn, I'll need to keep an eye on things here.
Grimacing, he powered off the data pad.
All right, but you'll go home early, no arguments.
We'll see, she said so very prim and proper. Sweeping the data pad, his pile of notes and a few other bits and pieces into the work case, he gave her an amused look.
Have you forgotten we're coming up on performance review season? If memory serves, there's something about suitably deferential demeanor in the questionnaire.
She was still straight-faced, but her eyes were amused.
Yes, sir. Will that be all, Senator Organa?
If anything urgent comes in after I've gone, flick it to my home console, he said, and clicked his work case shut. Oh, and aside from the executive office, I'd rather not take any official calls unless somebody's sky is falling down. And even then, see if they've got a sturdy umbrella.
Will do, Senator.
Manala stepped back so he could get through the doorway.
Have a good evening, and you should try for an early-ish night, too.
Ha, he said, heading for the discreet exit in her outer office. Chance would be a fine thing. As promised, his speeder was waiting for him at the Level 2 senatorial parking section. Leaving the shields down to let in the balmy weather, Bale eased into the southwest traffic flow that would take him out to the sprawling GAR docks and barracks complex. It was an industrial sector of the city that had been reclaimed with an executive eminent domain decree a few weeks into the war. The move hadn't been welcomed, but Palpatine had managed to smooth the affected company director's ruffled plumage by promising that the inconvenience would be temporary, a matter of months at most. They weren't to worry, the Jedi would soon have the Separatists suing for peace. But months had passed since the property seizures, and the galaxy's violent divisions were growing wider, not narrower.
Still, the war can't go on forever. Dooku and his cohorts must know they'll fail in their efforts to bring down our democracy. It's 1,000 years strong. It can ride out this storm.
Although, this wasn't the first time he'd told himself that, and he was starting to worry it wouldn't be anywhere near the last. Palpatine needed to tone down the optimistic rhetoric. The Jedi were being pushed to their limits and far, far beyond. And the Kaminoan cloning facility was struggling as well. New clones were being deployed without the same depth and intensity of training as those who'd made up the original companies, most of whose soldiers had fallen in battle. That meant higher casualty rates, which in turn increased demand for replacements. It was a vicious circle that spun and spun with no sign of ceasing.
If we don't turn the tide soon, we're going to get washed away.
A chilling thought. To distract himself, Bale stared at the glorious Coruscant sunset, bleeding into twilight at the edge of the world. Bands of purple and gold and bold, shameless crimson, a welcome reminder that even in the midst of despair, there was beauty to be found, if you looked for it. This far out from the densely populated city center and the admin districts, the traffic was much lighter. Though he piloted a speeder with the most up-to-date sensors and crash nets, vigilance when commuting to and from the Senate building was crucial. It was a relief to be able to relax a little, to sit back and let his gaze take in more than the rear bumper of the crammed-in speeder ahead of him, to let his thoughts wander. Sure, these days they had a tendency to wander down dark alleys, but at least out here, for a short while, he had the luxury of chivying them in a slightly more cheerful direction.
Like admiring a pretty sunset, I just don't do that often enough.
And why not? Because every time he turned around, the galaxy gave him something else to worry about, like right now. He could not forget his work case tucked in the speeder's luggage compartment and holding, locked inside it, his data pad, loaded with memos and statistical spreadsheets and reports. Lots and lots and lots of reports. As head of the Republic's Security Committee, he felt he was in very real danger of choking to death on reports. But there was one in particular, buried amid all the others. Slow to reach him, its import had been ignored by the others who'd glanced at it in passing. On the face of things, it was insignificant, almost irrelevant in the grander scheme of this conflict. And yet, for the life of him, he could not get it out of his mind. So much for admiring a pretty sunset. Eventually, he eased his speeder out of the main traffic slipstream and into the restricted outer zone of the GAR hangar complex. And as the first of many security checkpoints scanned his speeder and personal ID chips, he watched Pioneer, thrusters roaring, lining up for docking in the complex's largest central hangar. The ship looked wounded. Scorched and visibly damaged by separatist weaponry, there was something subtly off in the thundering note of her engines. He could hear it, feel it, tickling the nape of his neck. Of course, he'd been kept apprised of the Kothless engagement, and he knew the Republic's forces had taken some brutal body blows. But reading a report and seeing with his own eyes what separatist technology and ill will could achieve, those were two entirely different things. Blast it. They've really got themselves hammered this time. Hope the final casualty numbers aren't too bad. On top of the comm disaster and everything else we're up against, that's the last thing we need. But that same prickly feeling on the nape of his neck told him this was one wish that wouldn't be granted. By the time he'd threaded his way through seven more security checkpoints, surrendered his speeder to a junior warrant officer, and signed in to the hangar sector with palm print and retinal scan, Pioneer was down and settled and disgorging clone troops. Various officers and civilian aid personnel nodded as he made his way onto Hangar 5's uncomfortably crowded deck. The noise was cacophonous. Health and safety warnings blaring, anti-grav transports beeping, booted feet thudding, voices raised in greeting and warning, and the acknowledgement of orders. The air was engine hot, stinking of spent fuel and sizzled industrial lubricants. Announcements and orders blared over the echoing public address system, almost too garbled to understand. Or maybe it was because after the civilized gentility of the Senate, his hearing wasn't properly tuned in. From what he could tell, nobody else was having trouble following them. Laden with battle-weary clone troopers, the first convoy of ground transports headed toward one of the hangar's four major exits, even as the next batch of soldiers piled themselves into the first available empty... Now what was the nickname? Oh yes, wheelbarrow. In the hangar's harsh lighting, their scorched, stained white armor glittered, and their fantastically dyed, clipped, and intermittently bald heads shone like beacons. They caught his attention and made him smile. At least they've got a sense of humor, these men. At least the war hasn't taken that from them. Yet. A touch on his arm turned him. Yes?
Senator Organa.
It was the deck officer, a smudge of dirt on her cheek, her surprise almost amusing.
Senator, sir, I'm sorry, I had no idea you were... There wasn't anything in...
Please, it's all right, he reassured her. Lieutenant...
Yarrow, sir.
Lieutenant Yarrow. He favored the tall, gangly officer with his best politician's smile. I didn't call ahead, this is an impromptu private visit. Nothing official about it, I just wanted to welcome home a friend.
Sir,
said Lieutenant Yarrow, almost hiding her puzzled lack of comprehension.
Of course, sir. If I might ask, which friend were you...
He caught movement from the corner of his eye, a flash of the familiar. He looked around and saw a slight figure dressed in a scorched and grubby cream-colored tunic and trousers and brown boots, the attire at odds with the sea of white clone armor, flight suits, and naval uniforms surrounding it at the base of Pioneer's main ramp. A silver lightsaber hilt dangled from its clip on a wide brown belt. He grinned. That one. Excuse me, Lieutenant. Obi-Wan, being Obi-Wan, sensed Bail's approach and turned. A moment's startlement, then a wide, genuine smile.
Bail! What are you doing here?
Playing messenger boy, he replied, hand outstretched, and one-man welcome party.
You shouldn't have come all this way,
said Obi-Wan, clasping the offered hand briefly, then releasing it. Smile aside, he looked tired, tension simmering beneath the surface.
We'd have caught up after tonight's security briefing.
No, we wouldn't. Palpatine's office bumped the meeting over to tomorrow morning. Bail frowned. Early. There was some diplomatic bash he'd promised to attend that got rearranged at the last minute. I see. Obi-Wan was frowning now, too. Odd that I've not heard about the change in plans from Master Yoda. That's because I told him I'd tell you. It's not a problem. I was done for the day anyway. How very organized of you. I do my humble best, Bail said with a small mocking bow. Obi-Wan smiled slightly. Yes, well, I'm not so sure I'd call it humble. Behind him, someone called his name. Sorry, Bail, give me a moment. Sure, Bail said. He stepped back as a clone NCO approached, bulky helmet tucked under one arm, a data pad in his other hand. Sorry to interrupt, General, the clone said, but you wanted these final stats before you left? No, no, that's quite all right, Sergeant, said Obi-Wan, all brisk efficiency. Let's have them. Whatever the news was, Obi-Wan didn't like it. His face stilled as he read the data pad, and beneath the schooled blankness, there was anger and distress. Because they were friends, and because he'd come to feel a proprietary interest in this particular Jedi's well-being, Bail took advantage of the moment to consider Obi-Wan more closely. Whatever action he'd seen on Kothless, he hadn't escaped from it untouched. Faint pink lines on his forehead and cheek suggested injuries recently healed. His whipcord physique showed a suggestion of strain and discomfort. Small, familiar hints of pain. So he was walking wounded. Again. Apparently some things didn't change. Right, Obi-Wan said at last, quietly, and tucked the data pad inside his tunic. Thank you, Sergeant. I think that'll do for now. You're stood down along with your men. Your efforts on Kothless are appreciated. The sergeant nodded. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. See you on the next rotation. Indeed. Obi-Wan watched the sergeant join a batch of clones on a waiting transport. As it departed the hangar, he let out a sigh. Sergeant Finn, a good man, single-handedly saved half his platoon when they were pinned down under enemy crossfire. Which likely meant the other half of the sergeant's platoon hadn't been so lucky. Bail felt suddenly awkward, like a pretender. Moments like this were a painful reminder that he stayed safe at home on Coruscant, taking meetings and reading reports, while others bore the brunt of his detached decisions. I know losing men is tough, Obi-Wan, he said, hesitant, needing to say something but afraid whatever he said it would be the wrong thing. At least we got a good outcome. You saved Kothless. Yes, said Obi-Wan, pensive. There is that. Then his expression darkened. There would have to be that, Bail. We came close to emptying our pockets on this one. I can tell. You look beat. Eyebrows lifting, Obi-Wan stared at him, frustrated, exasperation flitting over his face. Why do people keep saying that? He nearly laughed, even though this wasn't really funny. Because it's true? I am fine, Obi-Wan snapped. And I will go on being fine unless one more person tells me I look...
General Kenobi?
Obi-Wan pulled a comlink from inside his tunic. Yes, Captain Tranta.
I'm signing off the flight log. Did you need to add anything?
No, thank you. How soon before you head out to Corellia?
We'll depart within the half hour, General.
Well, here's hoping your stay there is short and sweet. And again, thanks for your efforts over Kothless.
It was a pleasure, sir. Happy hunting on your next mission.
And you, Captain. I saw some of Pioneer's damage when you came in, Bail said as Obi-Wan flicked off the comlink transmit switch. What's the extent? Obi-Wan sighed. Far less than Indomitables and Coruscant Skies. As I told you, this was a costly outing. I take it you're avoiding Alantine Six's shipyards? Ah, Obi-Wan's eyes narrowed. So you've heard. Oh yes, Bail said. Espionage and an upgrade in SEP jamming technology? Trust me, the comlink channels were burning within moments of Yularen's first report. There's a task force up and investigating already. Good, said Obi-Wan with a bitter satisfaction. Do whatever you must to see they get results, Bail. The hangar's noise and activity level were starting to abate. The last of the clones were leaving, the deck crew squaring away equipment and detritus. Not wanting to be overheard, Bail lowered his voice.
So, how many men did you lose?
Too many, said Obi-Wan tightly, his eyes shadowed. And dozens of wounded shipped off to Kalida Shoals, including Anakin's Padawan. And that went a long way to explain the source of Obi-Wan's distress.
I'm sorry to hear it. What about Anakin?
Obi-Wan flashed a fleeting smile.
Oh, he's fine. Anakin has more lives than a Sullustan moonbat. And speaking of my former apprentice, excuse me for just one more moment.
He lifted the comlink again and thumbed the transmit switch.
Anakin! Anakin, do you copy?
Skywalker here.
What's your status?
Well, Obi-Wan, right now I'm upside down inside my fighter engine's housing. What's yours?
I'm in Hangar 5, ready to return to the temple. Have you forgotten that Master Yoda's expecting us?
There was some grunting and a muffled curse.
Right. Look, can you cover for me? Only my fighter's not the only one needing emergency first aid, and they're short-handed here, and...
Another muffled curse, followed by a bitten-off exclamation of pain.
Stang! You crippled, barb-loving lump of...
Then a short silence, humming with tension.
Sorry, Obi-Wan. I have to stay and fix this. Hangar 3 is almost empty. We're practically the only fighters in the place. If something comes up overnight...
Bail watched Obi-Wan close his eyes and shake his head before exhaling a slow, resigned sigh.
Yes, all right. I'll make your excuses. But whatever else you do, don't turn off that comlink. You might well be asked to join us via holoconference.
Yeah, fine, said Anakin, sounding distracted. I might not be finished in time for the meeting with Chancellor Palpatine.
That's been postponed.
Great. Sorry, Obi-Wan, I've got to get back to this. My manifold coupling's about to fall apart. Just make sure you get some rest, okay?
Bail struggled to muffle his laughter. Sparing him a single burning glance, Obi-Wan shoved the comlink back inside his tunic.
That young man is getting entirely too far above himself.
That young man was fast garnering a reputation for courage and brilliance under fire that was close to making him a Republic-wide celebrity. Anakin Skywalker. It was a name on many, many lips. Not the least of which of Palpatine's. He couldn't be prouder of Obi-Wan's former apprentice if he were the young man's father. But he decided not to share the thought, given that Obi-Wan wasn't overly fond of their Supreme Chancellor.
You said Anakin's Padawan has been hurt? Will she recover?
Yes. I'm more concerned about Captain Rex and Sergeant Korrick, said Obi-Wan, passing a hand over his face. The next day or two should tell the tale. And now he really did look tired, worn down, weighted with grief and worry. Come on, General, Bail said quietly. I'll give you a ride back to the temple. Obi-Wan patted his shoulder. That would be very nice. Thank you, Senator. Cruising without haste through the darkened Coruscant sky, dribs and drabs of traffic leading the way toward the brightly lit admin districts, Bail looked sideways at silent, brooding Obi-Wan, then gave a mental shrug. On the other hand, sometimes a little impertinence is required between friends, and desperate times call for desperate measures.
Okay, I'm going to say this now while I'm flying so you're less likely to pitch me over the speeder's side.
Eyes half closed, Obi-Wan smiled.
You do realize I could pitch you over the side and keep control of this machine at the same time.
Ah, so that would be the flaw in my plan. Obi-Wan snorted.
Whatever it is you want to say, Bail, just say it.
He blew out a breath. Fine, here goes. You really do look tired, Obi-Wan, and not just I've had a few late nights tired. He hesitated. I'm talking almost dead tired.
Bail,
Master Jedi, I'm warning you, he said sharply. Do not tell me again that you're fine, or I'll pitch you over the side. Obi-Wan muttered something under his breath and folded his arms tight to his chest.
I've just come back from a major engagement, Bail. I think I'm entitled to be a little weary.
No, it's more than battle fatigue. This war, the way you and the other Jedi are being asked to fight without decent respite, it can't go on. It can, and it will, for as long as the war goes on, Obi-Wan retorted. You're the last person who should be surprised by that, Bail. You know better than anyone the truth of how matters stand between us and the Separatists.
You're right, Bail said, slowing the speeder as they ran into the first hint of heavy traffic. Closer now, he could see the relentless glare of the city's nightlife, a hint of music blew fitfully on the breeze. And that's why I'm concerned. There's no quick fix waiting around the corner. We're in this fight against Dooku and Grievous for the long haul, and that means we need to conserve our assets. Obi-Wan shifted in the passenger seat, staring.
Have you been talking to Wolf Yularen?
What?
No, he snapped. Stop trying to change the subject, would you? What I'm trying to say is...
I know what you're trying to say, said Obi-Wan, sounding close to snappish himself. And while your concern is appreciated, it's not required. You seem to have forgotten that I'm a Jedi, Bail, which means...
That you've got juice the rest of us lack, he said, scowling. Like I'm going to forget that any time soon. Look, I know how potent the Force is, I know how much you rely on it, and the kind of difference it makes. But underneath all the flash and dazzle, you're still no more than flesh and blood. You're vulnerable, Obi-Wan. And you Jedi have a bad habit of pretending that's not the case.
All I'm saying, he added more gently, is don't let having the Force in your arsenal lull you into a false sense of security. Don't get into the habit of taking more credits from your bank account than you put in.
Jedi don't have bank accounts.
Bail laughed, half amused, half angry.
Fine. Treat this like a joke. Treat me like a joke. I don't care, so long as you think about what I'm saying. You don't even have to admit I'm right. Just try to cultivate some restraint, Obi-Wan. This Republic can't afford to lose any more Jedi.
On that, Obi-Wan said with quiet intensity, you'll get absolutely no argument. They continued in silence for a while. The tips of the Jedi Temple spires were distantly discernible now, their nav lights blinking. Coding a course change into the speeder's onboard nav computer, Bail slipped into a different traffic stream. Obi-Wan stirred.
I thought we were going to the temple.
We are. I'm taking the scenic route.
The scenic route, Obi-Wan said slowly.
I see. In other words, his arms folded again, there's something else you want to get off your chest? He should have known he wouldn't fool this man.
Yeah. Okay, so, here's the thing, and you have to believe me, I know how this sounds. There's a whisper of something, some obscure intel that's come across my desk.
This time it was Obi-Wan who laughed.
You cannot be serious.
Serious as a heart attack, actually, he replied. There's nothing confirmed. No encrypted messages or shady operatives. No clandestine meetings. Just... I've got a bad feeling.
Which is even more worrying than any number of encrypted messages, shady operatives, or clandestine meetings.
Obi-Wan tugged at his beard.
Very well. I know I'm going to regret asking this, but what's your bad feeling about?
Bail looked sideways. Have you ever heard of a planet called Lanteeb? Obi-Wan sat forward, elbows dug into his thighs, face hidden in his hands.
We are not having this conversation, he said, muffled. At this very moment, I am asleep in the Jedi Temple, having a nightmare.
Hey, it's not that bad, he protested. I happen to know where Lanteeb is, and it's nowhere near wild space. It's a backworld of the Outer Rim.
And that, of course, makes things so much better, said Obi-Wan brightly, lifting his head. We should take the entire Jedi Council there for a picnic.
Bail looked at his tired friend.
Did no one ever tell you that sarcasm is a very undignified trait in a Jedi?
Flinging himself back in the passenger seat, Obi-Wan pressed thumb and fingertip against his eyes.
I think you just did.
Look, he muttered, Lanteeb's not a Sith planet. It's a ball of grass and dirt and not much else in the middle of nowhere. It has no strategic value or wealth of any kind.
In which case, Bail, why do you care about it?
He shook his head.
No,
The question you should be asking, Obi-Wan, is, why do the Separatists care about it?
They care about it?
Said Obi-Wan. At last he sounded interested.
They do. In fact, nearly 5 standard weeks ago they took control of it, and I can't for the life of me work out why.
The Jedi Temple was almost within spitting distance now. Obi-Wan, who usually stared at the place as though it were a long-lost lover, tapped fingers to his lips and ignored its existence.
You're right, he murmured. That is indeed curious.
Yeah, it's curious, Bail agreed, and these days the last thing I want to deal with is curious. Do you?
Not particularly, said Obi-Wan very dryly.
Who else have you mentioned this to?
Nobody. I only read the report day before yesterday, and I've been buried in meetings and more urgent reports ever since.
But it's been nagging me, Obi-Wan, and I trust my instincts.
Obi-Wan spared him an absent-minded smile.
As do I.
The speeder's ID chip blipped a warning. The Jedi Temple, like the Senate building, was part of an upgraded security net, and